Hello, and welcome to Original Lines, where we talk to original people with original ideas living the creative life. I'm your host, Laura Allen, and today we're talking with Seattle artist Tina Randolph. Tina is a multidisciplinary artist who works in a variety of mediums, encaustic, inlay, mosaic, as well as paint and patinas. She's done quite a lot of large-scale commission work in public and private spaces. You'll find her work in a lot of iconic Seattle restaurants and spaces. She works in architectural plaster, cement finishes, and more. We're really excited to have her here today. Welcome, Tina.
Hi.
It's really good to have you. I have been excited, looking forward to this interview for forever.
I'm glad it's finally happening.
Yeah, me too. So how did you get started as an artist?
Well, actually, I started in architectural finishes and interior work about 25 years ago. And about 15 years ago, I was curating at a Ellet Bay Cafe in Pioneer Square. Mm-hmm. So, I was doing artwork on my own, but I wasn't showing anywhere. And someone canceled. And I decided, I'm going to do a show. And I got it together and had a, you know, within a few weeks notice and did a show, and it was a success. And then the universe said, I think you should do this. So then I started doing it.
What kind of work did you do for that first solo show?
It was just really simple. I did a plaster work with painting on top, mm-hmm. A lot of Xerox transfers. It was very iconic and folky and real simple imagery. Like, I always joke, like, the original put a bird on it kind of thing. So lots of birds and hands and symbolic imagery, really simple, iconic symbolic imagery.
Very cool. Very cool. You still do both, right? You still do quite a lot of commission work, like public spaces, and then also do your own personal. Do those things, do they interact? Do they overlap? Is like what you're working on in your commission work, does it come out in your private work?
Yeah, definitely. Whatever I'm working on, it influences what I'm working on. So I haven't ever stopped being that way. Whatever is I'm immediately working on definitely carries over into my art practice.
Yeah. You use a lot of power tools, don't you?
Yeah, you can hear me using power tools. I do use power tools. I don't think I'm the best at it, but I'm kind of self-taught. I'm self-taught artist, self-taught with the tools. So I don't, you know, I didn't have someone showing me the proper way to use things, but I'm kind of brave that way. So yeah, I do.
Yeah. So did you grow up in an artistic family, or
My grandmother was an artist. And my dad was, you know, my dad was a builder. My dad was a carpenter. So to me, I think that's where I got, you know, the idea that I could use tools. And all my brothers work in the trades. I think that was just why I was sort of fearless in that way.
Right. Right. Most of your commission work requires more than just you, right? You need people to help you install and all that sort of thing. What does that process look like for you usually?
It's just really gathering who's available, gathering who I've worked with before that's able to help me. And I've just been really lucky. I've been lucky to work with great people that want to work on the projects in the short time span that I'm usually given.
Yeah. Do you make sketches for them, or do you do designs for them and then have people help you install?
Yeah. It's sketches or, you know, things are done pretty quickly. Yeah. And then I just pretty much just say what I need. And then also just using their skills, like their strengths. You know, I try to use people that I know things that I can't do. I have them help me.
Right. Yeah. Well, how about you just got finished with a big project in Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So could you describe the project for us? What was it?
That project is a residential project. And that is really just going back to my architectural roots. And I'm working with my friend who used to work for me 25 years ago. And she's really just created a niche for herself doing this cement restoration. And cement is something I've always worked with. So she does, it's really just doing restoration. It's not a super creative job, but we're coming in and creating a seamless, flawless finish on ply form. It's wood form cement that takes the texture of the wood. And so then the cement looks like wood, you know, textured wood. And
oh, cool.
So we, no matter what, without fail, there's areas that are problematic. So we come in and make it look flawless. So you don't know where the mistakes were, where there's chips on the corners or whatever. So that's really our job, and it's time consuming, and it's really difficult to get it to look perfect, and not anyone can come in and do a patchwork like that. So yeah. So, but you know, I've been doing these jobs the last year with Liz, and it's kind of allowing me to go make money and then come back and have my studio practice. So it's been really, and also I get to go on these work adventures, which are fun.
Yeah, Kauai.
Yeah.
So when you're doing these types of commission, it seems like one of those. I did some theater work for a while, and we had, you know, a lot of faux finishing and a lot of stuff like that. I did set design and set painting. And one of my favorite things about theater work, is it's a constant new challenge. Like, it's always whatever job or whatever's up here. It's something you may or may not have actually done that. So you have to, is that similar to that, doing the restoration work? Is it, you have to figure it out on the fly?
Yeah. I mean, really, Liz, you know, she, you're figuring out the color. You have to figure out the formula. And each time it's always different. We always think, oh, we've done this, but each job is different. So you have to figure it out. Yeah. But it's always starting over from the very beginning. Every job is starting over. So the learning curve is always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes it exciting for me. I actually enjoy that. But how does that compare with private work? Does your private work feel that way, or does it feel different?
Yeah, my private work is just me being experimental and pushing myself. And so where my commercial work is, it usually there's an idea, you know, there's some sort of kernel of an idea, and you know, I'm working for that space. I'm working with all the other elements in the space, so you know, just a lot of design work involved. But my personal work is just it doesn't have the outside influences.
So what does a day in a studio look like for you with the private work?
Usually it's just a lots of music, lots of coffee. you know, I allow myself to take breaks too. I go take a walk, you know, and then I come back into the space. But it's just a ritual of turning on the wax, which sometimes I don't want to do it. I don't know why. I fight it. Like, it takes me a while to get into, like, I want to turn the wax on. It's just a commitment. It's a commitment. And I know that when I start working, I'm not going to stop for hours. And I get lost. I really just get lost. And that is the best feeling. I mean, so yeah, it's fighting that, like, knowing I'm going to get lost, and the commitment. It's just that thing of not starting to do something, even though you know you're going to enjoy it, you know, as maybe a little bit like exercise or just any discipline that you don't want to do, but it's going to give you joy in the end.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you ever dream of a day where you wouldn't have to do commission work at anymore, design work, and only do private work? Or do you really like?
Oh, I really think that having both is nice. I like having the break. the commercial work is more of a no-brainer for me. I mean, it's a challenge. It's a direct challenge, and I like it. And I feel like I can answer those things fairly easy because I've done it, and I do like the challenge. I like to live up to the challenge. But my private work is really challenging to me to do something that I feel good about, and that to put something out there that is so personal, so it's more difficult for me. But so I wouldn't want to just do one or the other. I like doing both together. I would like to make it where my personal work is 70% of what I do, and maybe commercial work is 30%. But just always finding a balance, I think, is the goal. And right now, it's pretty close to where I want to be.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Have you, what was your last show? Have you had any shows recently?
No, last time I had a show was 2 years ago on my 50th birthday. Uh-huh. So,
yeah.
And that was a lot of pressure. For me, I find a lot of pressure in having shows. So I think it's just, I want to get back into doing that, but without the pressure, just feeling comfortable with it.
How so? How are shows a lot of pressure?
Like 10 years ago, I was doing like 2 shows a year, and I thrived on the chaos a little bit. And I've just had some setbacks, and pressure is not something, it's something that I have to keep at bay in my life, you know? And so I stopped having shows, and I just started doing commercial projects more. And then I sort of lost that. I lost that whole, my confidence. So now I think it's just getting, you know, building, you know, having the work, having enough work to not feel like I have to create so much work in a short amount of time or whatever. That would be the pressure. Yeah. It's not so much about what I'm doing, but how much work I'm producing and the time span I have to produce it in. But if you have a daily practice, you'll have the work. So,
yeah, I find it seems to be 50-50 with the people I've interviewed anyway, whether they like the deadlines of the shows or whether it makes them kind of, you know, just like, no, it's terrible. But I guess we all kind of work to different pressures, you know, if it's an internal pressure or whether it's an external deadline. But
I mean, there was a time when I just was a workaholic mm-hmm. and I could just be in the studio and work and work all night. And maybe I wasn't as healthy as I needed to be. And I just don't want to do that anymore. I don't like a lot of chaos. And so yeah, it has to be in a really balanced regiment. And so that's where I'm operating now.
Do you think that self-taught artists have to teach yourself all of that, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. You have to teach yourself how to balance things, how to have a routine. Do you think that people who have gone through school, MFAs, et cetera, learn more about some of that just lifestyle hygiene aspect of things? Or do you think it doesn't really matter?
Oh, I think it's really just prone to your personality.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I was just personally, I was just sort of extreme. And that's just how I operate, how I operated. So yeah, I think even if I went to school or whatever, I would still would have operated in that manner, yeah. You know. So I don't know. I don't know. For me personally, I think it's kind of who you are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm like running people through my head and people that I know have multiple degrees and people who are self-taught. And yeah, it does seem to just be person by person. So, because I mean, I know some people with multiple degrees who never learned balance.
But, you know,
and not healthy in any way. You know, it's not like they have, because some people can. I mean, it seems like there's some people who can just work 3 days straight and then be totally fine with it, collapse and then be fine. But then I can't do that anymore. Maybe when I was 20, I could.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know my limits.
It's good to learn your limits.
Yeah. But, you know, I've worked with a lot of people and I respect the discipline. I respect the people that are get up in the morning and they're in the studio. The people that do their time in the building, mm-hmm. you know, I absolutely respect that. And so I feel like I'm considered a hard worker in this building. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here all the time. Yeah. I'm in the space. And I think whether it's just cleaning my space or just work in my space, I'm there. And that's really important.
Is your space here your primary workspace?
Yeah.
Is it, how have you always had a studio outside the home, or did you get an office or studio?
I've had studios, you know, on and off for the last 15 years, but not always. Not, you know, sometimes I had I painted the kitchen, you know, did whatever. But I've been here for 6 years. So,
do you find it helpful to have the space?
Yeah, before it wasn't important for me to leave the house, and when I got the space here, it really changed everything. Like, community just became really important to me. And even though I'm not like super chatty and talking to a lot of people in the building, just being here means a lot. And seeing friends, seeing faces, just being called to a building that has, it's never existed for me like this. So this building's really special in that way. Yeah, just feel really called to be here.
I'll tell you what, I think it's time for a take a little short break, and we'll be back shortly with Tina Randolph.
Hey there. Did you know that you can find Original Lines on both iTunes and Stitcher? So whether you have an iPhone or Android, you can always catch the latest episode. Be sure to subscribe to us, and we love reviews. Thanks.
Okay, and we're back with Tina Randolph. Okay, Tina, we were talking a little bit about, yes, your private and your public work, and we talked a bit about your commission in Hawaii, but let me ask you, what are you working on in your private work right now?
Well, right now I'm really working hard on my encaustic paintings. I've kind of been just playing around, I've been experimenting, I keep saying, for for all these years with encaustic. And I'm kind of just really going for it. Just like I had been, habitually reworking all these pieces over time, and just really, I think I was in my safety net, just calling everything an experiment and not putting it out there. And now I'm just getting ready to start with all new boards, new work, and start fresh with paintings, start to finish, not reworking anything. And I'm just really excited. I'm excited to use all my skills that I've been, all the work I've been doing for the last 8 or 9 years, just putting it to practice.
Yeah. You tend to use multiple processes in one piece, don't you? Like inlay and then different patinas and different, then you come back and resurface. What does that process look like from start to finish? I know it's different every time. But
yeah, it's just, I really like layers, and I like cutting into the work, and I like scraping back and then adding more layers. And, lots of times I have something great and I cover it up, and it's very impulsive, and I've wasted a lot of time in that. So I'm trying less to, I'm not going to cover everything up, but at the time there was a need, and that served a purpose. But now I'm trying to be very deliberate and not create any extra work for myself. And I do a lot of incising, cutting, engraving, and color, even though I'm a good colorist, color is challenging for me. So, to to put it all together, it's either, I'm always joking that it's either like, it's this way, like I have, either I'm really austere and no color, or it's just like totally like I could joke around and call it juicy fruit, and so I'm trying to find that balance in between, and I think I'm getting there. Yeah. Yeah.
You've been using a lot of silver patinas lately, and metallic patinas. Why is that? Do you know?
I've always worked with silver leaf, metal, gold leaf, and gilding. I don't know. I just love the sculptural quality of the wax and the metallics together, the leafing together. It's just, I think the two together are just so beautiful. For a long time, I didn't want to put metal on the end because I felt like it covering all that work. It didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. But now these pieces, it's just so sculptural. All the work that I've done, all the incising, all the sculptural work shows up. And then I love the patina that happens on top, and then creating my patinas on top of the metal work. But I don't know. I've also just been covering everything up and then blowing it all open again, like literally just letting it melt and let the leaf just tear open. And it's pretty exciting.
I
like what's happening. And before I would have never done that. I've just left it alone. Like just, I don't know. I've lost a lot of work. So I'm still battling with that. That there is a chance that I could lose all that work, you know. But so I'm revealing it a little bit by blowing it open again, and it's not quite where it needs to be, but it's almost there, and I'm finding that balance.
Good. Well, how do you know? I mean, it sounds like you struggle with this as much as anybody else does. How do you know when something's finished? Do you know when something's finished?
I think that's why I quit painting a while back. you know, with my commercial work, I know when things are finished. And with my plaster work, I know when things are finished. Painting is a little more difficult. I tend to have something really great and keep and then overwork it. So how do I know when something's finished? I don't know. People always say, oh, this is finished. They walk in and say it's finished. And I feel insulted because I'm kind of like, how can you say it's finished? You know, it's just, I think of it like cooking. Like, you wouldn't just like not serve this meal, you know, when it, you know, it needs a little bit of, you know, pepper or whatever, right. You know, it needs a little more flavor. You know when it's finished. Mm. And yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You are getting ready to go to a residency in Maryland.
It's in Massachusetts.
Okay, so you're getting ready to go to a residency in Massachusetts.
Yeah, in Truro, Massachusetts.
Nice. So, yeah. Have you ever been on a residency like this before?
No. I mean, I've been talking about residencies or making my own residencies in different places, but no, so I'm, this is my first one like this, and I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope to gain from the experience?
I think just being with – I really want some outside influence in my life right now and, you know, leaving the city and going to the opposite end of, you know, the opposite coast mm-hmm. Is exciting for me in a rural – in a place, not being in a city is exciting for me. And being with other really established artists, it's – Michael David, who I found actually on the internet, and I followed him on Facebook, and then he posted about this residency. And when I was in Hawaii, I said, I'm just going to do this. I just felt like it was really important that I needed to go. And so, I think just throwing myself into something that I normally don't do a lot of things can happen.
Mm-hmm. So usually, do they have a mix at this residency? Do they have a mix of artists, writers at one time? Do they usually try to mix people up during one residency period?
Yeah, this is limited to 8 artists, and I think all on caustic painters. And I think there are different mediums. Brenda Goodman will be there, and she's an oil painter, mm-hmm. a veteran oil painter. So and then also they have facilities for printmaking and great encaustic facilities and whatever you want to do. It's really about doing whatever you want to do. But, you know, those are the parameters.
Mm-hmm. Are you going with a project in mind, or are you just going to go with
an
open
bringing, kind of mind? I'm just bringing lots of wax, lots of boards, and... you know, originally I want to work on some big paintings, but, you know, just the cost and the logistics of that it's probably not going to happen. So I'm just going to bring a bunch of boards and, kind of work on what I've been doing lately in the studio, but, mm-hmm. Hopefully push myself and go a lot further. Mm-hmm. I think just having my mind blown with what other people are doing and just outside influence and mentoring and a really good teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Yeah.
Have you ever had along through your art career, like a critique group or somebody that you regularly like exchange work critique with?
No, not really. So I think that will be part of this too, but that is happening. And, that's not something, that does not sound fun to me, but I know how important it is. Mm-hmm. And, so I think, that is something that I'd like to be more involved in.
Mm-hmm. I hear people say all the time how important that it's critical. And I mean, I also am mostly self-taught. I went to art school, but I didn't finish my degree. Haven't yet. I might go back and finish it, but, I feel like that's the one thing that I miss a lot is like group having critique. It's one of those things you look around, you think everybody else has it and you don't. It's probably not true, But I feel like everybody else has this, like, this group of friends they can get together around and talk about, you know, like, oh, here's my new work and here's, you know, the traditional critique group. And so,
you know, I have peers, I have people that walk into the studio. We might discuss things, but no, not like a formal critique, you know?
But, that seems like that could be a really productive part of a residency is kind of having that, especially if you get together once a week or, you know, in the evenings or whatever.
Yeah. I think there'll be a lot of aha moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Good. I wish you well. I hope it goes wonderfully for you.
Thank you.
Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you, I remember that, is like, have you ever had, I know a lot of your work is in kind of the iconic restaurants, and we're totally shifting gears here, but a lot of your work is in the iconic restaurants downtown and in Capitol Hill and around. Have you ever had the experience of one of your artworks being destroyed, like either an owner change or a renovation or a building being torn down?
Oh, man. That's like a loaded question. you know, lots of, you know, this year I've had a couple of restaurants change ownership I thought that would be really hard for me, like that it would really bother me more than it does, like the chance that it will be torn down or they didn't keep it or whatever. But I don't know. I've kind of just let that go. Like, you know, it's been in the public eye for all these years. And, you know, some things, nothing's going to last forever. I mean, so far, I'm trying to think what has been, you know, like Sun Liquor was sold, Sun Liquor Distillery. And Sun Liquor, the bar is for sale now. And that was just a project I was just so proud of. And, had been, you know, something that I'm known for in this town and so iconic. And so that was really sad for me that it might be not live on. But I don't know. I just let it go. It's been around for, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, that's had a nice life, I guess. Yeah.
It still seems like it would be a bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There has been things that have been, you know, destroyed, and I was initially upset, but you just get over it, you know, because in Seattle, you know, so many restaurants, everything is just closing. So many amazing spots and institutions are closing. So,
yeah,
you have to get over it, I guess.
Yeah, that just seems like a wrench. I mean, and I guess everything's pretty well documented, right? You usually get in and get pictures.
Oh, you'd think.
You hope.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be the hardest part of commission work, because then it's just not yours anymore. I mean, I guess it's not yours anymore when you sell a painting.
Right. But, no, I mean, I feel lucky, like my Mamnoon communal table. I mean, think about how many people have sat at those tables over the last 6 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing, you know. And I do. I mean, like, I have no idea how those tables are beloved, you know, and I have no idea, you know, that, you know, I know if people like them, but I don't know how much, you know, I get notes all the time. Like, I've sat at this table and I can't stop thinking about it for.
Oh, that's amazing. That's very cool.
That means a lot to a lot of people at the experience, you know? Yeah.
Well, hopefully a new owner would not, I mean, I guess if they have like an entirely different aesthetic, but you would hope that they would at least give you the opportunity. Like I would expect that maybe they might contact you and say, hey, look, we're going to tear this out. Yeah. Do you want to try to reclaim it?
I think I thought that they were going to just take down the mural I did at, Sun Liquor Distillery, which was a map of the world. And, you know, it's 30 feet long by 16 feet high. And I thought I was just going and, you know, the part of me wanted to like chip it off the wall, you know, but they kept it. They integrated it into the new business.
That's
good. I haven't been there to see it yet, but I heard they kept it.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Do you have any other, you've got your residency coming up and you're working on some paintings. Do you have any other big commission stuff coming up? Was the Y one kind of the last one for now? Or
I'm going to continue doing projects with Liz. Mm-hmm. That's her business. So I'm just working with her. But But we have partnered up on this. Like, I am her main gal that she brings on the trips. So we're going to continue doing that. And it's some pretty exciting architectural projects. So, you know, I feel really happy to be a part of it. And yeah, I do. I have some furniture work that I'm doing, some tables coming up, and actually some large encaustic paintings that I'm getting ready to start. So yeah, I'll be, it'll be a busy, going into the new year.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, we're getting back into the season where we can actually be in the studios because it's cool enough.
Yeah. I'm ready to hunker down while I'm here for sure. Yeah.
Yep. How long is your residency, by the way?
It's 2 weeks.
Okay, good.
It's 2 weeks.
That'll be enough time to get into into something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting close to finishing up. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about?
Not really. No, I just thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this. And I just do want to say, like, I love the community and at Inscape and in this building and the history. And I just love the work that you're doing.
Thank you for letting
me be part of it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. This is, I love talking to all the artists. It's really interesting. Everybody has such different stories. It's great. But I did forget to ask you. I forgot to ask you the question I ask everybody. It's why do you think people make art?
I think it's just, you know, I think it's an extension of yourself, you know, and some people have, have a greater need to express that, you know, and I think most people, a lot of people want to, I mean, but some people just, they have to, I think. I'm definitely one of the people, I have to. It doesn't matter if I'm even showing my work, I have to make work and do art just for my own sanity. And for beauty and for salvation and for making sense of this world. For me, that's what it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And Tina, where can we find out more about your work if we want to see more?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a new website design. So I'm doing that right now. And so it's tinarandolph.com. Should be up in a month or so. And then you can follow me on Tina Randolph Studio on Instagram. That's about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And that was it for today's episode of Original Lines. You can find out more about us at www.twoponiespress.com or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or any of your favorite podcast services. And please remember to like and subscribe. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.